Go tell everyone about this new life. That was a message given to the apostles and given to us as followers of Christ. And it has to do with, boy, God's life-changing connection to us, giving us that gift of life and also the gift of one another. If I were to ask you this morning to introduce to me three friends of yours, who would you pick? Three friends that have made an impact on your life. They might be friends now, hopefully. You might have known them for a long time. Maybe they're more recent that come into your sphere of communication there. You might say Evelyn, Pete, Ruth, and Ruth. You know, they might be in that group that God has blessed you with. But if you were to ask somebody, hey, why do you go to church? And if they were honest with you a bit, probably the number one reason people give for why they actually go to church, besides worshiping Christ, which is always number one, is that human connection, person to person, that you have with other people. Because when you think about worship, a lot of what we do in worship, you can get and you can experience, perhaps, in other settings. You turn the radio on or the TV on, and every Sunday you get Billy Graham or Adrian Rogers or Charles Stanley or whoever is giving that great prepared message for you. You can get choirs of hundreds of folk trained and professional and singing away, and you can worship where you're at. But that human touch of worshiping with other people, boy, a real gift from God. If you were to ask Jesus, who are your three friends, Jesus, during your ministry? Well, Peter, James, and John. And really shows how God will work in your life through the gift of other people. Don't miss that as a Christian. In the Psalms, it says, as for me, my delight is in the saints of the Lamb. They are glorious ones, and I take a lot of joy in them. That's a paraphrase from King David. So somebody feels that way about you this morning. Even if you come to church and you say, well, I didn't interact with many. I didn't have a chance to talk with some or have a significant conversation. Really, someone's spoken to you, the Lord. The choir has spoken to you and LaRue. And I'm going to talk to you for about 20 minutes if you can handle that. You know, if you can say, well, that message was just for me. It was like somebody talking. Like he was talking just for me. That's a good way to listen to every sermon that the Lord would prepare or song that he has given to himself. And this morning, to introduce you to three friends from the Bible that really represent a life change that Christ can bring. These three friends are from him. We've all experienced them in one sense or another. But just to not take them for granted, but to be grateful for them. And the friends that you have, you might ask yourself the question, did you earn or deserve the friendship you have with them? Or were they kind of plopped into your life as a gift? And you haven't quite got over that gift. I'd like you to see those three friends that I mentioned here from the Scripture as gifts from the Lord. Well, the three friends are, they all mean life. Life, and that's what you're seeking this morning. Life. Even at a funeral service, we talk about life with Christ that does not end. So these three friends from the Scripture that are Greek words and all mean the word life are bio, psyche, and zoe. You might say, well, I'm more familiar with Pete and Ruth and Evelyn. But bio, psyche, and zoe, if you could let part of God's word change your life. Those words mean life. And we really admire life when you think about the alternative. Non-life, non-existence, death itself. If I were to tell you, you've got to come to the meal afterwards because so-and-so's going to be there. And they are the life of the party. You would know what I meant. Somebody who's full of energy, you feel alive around them. Things go well when you're around them. That's somebody who's full of life. But what if I were to introduce you to somebody who's not just the life of the party, but life of your home, life of your work? Hey, let me introduce you to somebody. He's the life of the church. You'd say, I got to meet that one. Who is this? Who is this? And Christ would come and say about himself, he is the life. He is the life. So listen to these three friends and take them as gifts from God that can bring our souls to life again. The first one, bio, is physical life. Very precious to God. Don't underestimate physical life. You wouldn't be here without that gift. And when God looks at a physical life, when he thinks of people, his Holy Spirit inspired David to write, boy, people are fearfully and wonderfully made. How precious physical life is. You know, 50 years ago, around the world and in our nation in particular, people valued physical life very, very highly. Nowadays, maybe not so much. It's up for debate. It's a consideration. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe not as important as it was. Hey, God hasn't changed. He said he values life 100%, being the creator of life, creator of that bio, that friend. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's how much God values physical life. In addition to that, you know, when Jesus rose from the dead, he just didn't rise in a spiritual sense, but he rose physically. Wow. It's good news for us, especially if we have a loved one that we miss very much. You might say, well, their life is kind of gone. But Jesus promises that one day he's going to give them a new body, new life physically even, so that we can see them and hug them and know them again. What a gift that God would value life like that and give that to you. The Holy Spirit uses that word bio when Jesus gave a warning. He said, be careful, though. Don't let the cares and worries and riches of this bio, this life, choke out God's word. Physical is important. But God will speak to your soul as so much more important. We'll take that as a friend. The second friend is psyche. Psyche also means life, used a lot of times in the Bible. It means life with meaning and purpose. If you study psychology, you're studying the meaning and purpose of human experiences. Well, this happened to me, but what's it mean? How am I supposed to respond? I remember in 12th grade in high school wanting to go to the school psychologist. I had a lot of problems, but the main reason I wanted to go to a school psychologist is because I was taking trigonometry. I wanted to know, what in the world is the meaning and purpose of trigonometry? Get me out of there. Well, he didn't budge. I guess the conclusion was the purpose of trigonometry was so that I learned how to suffer well. Sometimes when we go through life, we can't put our finger on the meaning and purpose. We say, I have to find meaning and purpose beyond all this that doesn't make sense. Is God my friend or not in this? I want psyche. I want some psyche about this. Without the psyche, you remember the old Hitchcock movie, Psycho. You lose meaning and purpose. You do all kind of not good things, violent things. When we were younger, the younger generation doesn't use this word, but in my days, when you were excited about something and you were ready to go, you said, I am psyched. And I am full of life. That's what happens if Norwin football team plays Penn Trafford football team. They are psyched. They have a meaning and purpose. You can't stop them. You know, Jesus gives us that opportunity to find meaning and purpose beyond ourselves. The Holy Spirit uses this word and says this: if you try to save your life, if you try to save your psyche in your own self, you will lose it. You will have no meaning and purpose. If you try to figure out life just put me at the center and everything else flows back to me, that will bring you nowhere. Jesus said, if you try to save your life like that, save your psyche like that, it won't go anywhere. But he said he would come to lay down his very life, a ransom for many, so we could be brought back to God. You know, when the Holy Spirit used the word give my life a ransom for many. Use the word psyche. Jesus said, I'll not only give my body at the cross, I'll give my right as God Almighty, and I'll put that aside so that people could know me. People could know me. What a Lord that He'd give us meaning and purpose in Himself. And then the third gift, the best gift of all, a word for life, is Zoe. It means life from the Redeemer, which Christ would offer you, that you can receive or perhaps try to achieve and go nowhere with. Life from the Redeemer. Life as a gift from God the Savior. Go and tell people about this life. That was what the apostles were told to do. And only Jesus gives us this when He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He was saying, I'm that gift of God that you really need. You know, Zoe can make bio and psyche very holy. Once we have life with Christ, pretty soon, even the physical world starts to flow to God's glory. Pretty soon, even the meaning and purpose of life start to get pointed back to God. And no matter which struggle or absurdity you might be going through, you could say, God is in this. God is in this. That's what Psalm 16, King David said, I'll set the Lord before me at all times. Because in His presence there's some joy. There's joy forevermore. In the story of Pilgrim's Progress, Christian is on his way to the celestial city. And he has to go through Vanity Fair. You might guess by the name, Vanity Fair is everything that represents a waste of time if we put our heart's allegiance to it. I don't know what the parallel would be today. Maybe a poorly run, you know, a fair combined with a mall, you might say. And there's things in there, and Christian's walking through Vanity Fair, and there are people shouting at him and yelling at him, come here, you need this. You will find purpose in this. You need this to be happy. And he's trying to respond well to all that. So he puts his hands over his ears and he starts walking and he says, life, life, eternal life. When he thinks of Christ and His ultimate purpose and destination in the Lord, he's able to look at the things around him and assign proper meaning to them. Oh, they're important, but I don't need that to have rest in my soul. Oh, this is good, but I can't center my life around that. He's walking through Vanity Fair, and he's walking through it. He's not setting up his own booth in it. And God would offer that life and life to the full with for you and I. Getting back to the reason why people come to church, remember that human connection? You know, the number one reason why people don't turn to God and don't come to church? Some of you may be experiencing this right now. It is because it is boring. There's no meaning to it. What? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't connect to the way I live in the everyday. So I turn away from it. A lot. And God would have us know, every time you and I experience what is commonly known as being bored or being out of touch with life's meaning and purpose, that's a signal from God. It's a very important signal that we have lost awareness of the presence of God. We've lost that awareness, whether it's in the home or at work or in church. As soon as you say, God doesn't have anything to do with this, your soul is going to get really without life and have no zing to it, no zest. But Christ would come and reintroduce us to the purpose of life. He's not just the life of the party. He's the life of life. And the crisis we would have all the time and on a regular basis of moving away from God and saying, I've forgotten what life is all about, is primarily a crisis of sin. That we say, I'm going to try to figure it out apart from God. Or, you know, this situation I'm in has nothing to do with God. When God tells you, my presence is there. I offer you life, the physical and emotional and spiritual that you could have. Would you take Him as a gift for your days of walking through Vanity Fair? so you could put your life in order before God? Could you accept God's friendship as a gift, not break that friendship with Him by trying to perhaps achieve it? What if I told you this morning, I got a real important, a real close friend in my life. His name is Joe. Joe has a lot of money. That's why he's my friend. If I'm nice to Joe, man, he does stuff for me. I really like Joe. You'd say there's something wrong with that relationship. Sometimes we treat the Lord like that. Something we have to achieve with Him. If I'm nice to Him, He'll be nice to me. The problem with that, that friendship, it produces no life in me. Pretty soon, my friendship starts to be one of complaint and unrest, because I never know if Joe or the Lord is pleased with what I'm doing. I just keep trying to achieve and keep trying to work. Back when I was young, people around me would always say, make sure you make a good living. Make sure you make a good living. And I'd always be a smart aleck and think, what are you trying to make something for you already have? Living. You are living, aren't you? Or are you just trying to make it for yourself? Life with Christ, you try to achieve it, it slips through your hands. But if you receive it, if you receive Him, oh Lord, in us we have no life, biological or purposeful or eternal. But in You we find those. Thank You, Lord. And pretty soon, our life, we begin to have a life of gratitude and thankfulness, because God is always blessing us. John said, with one blessing after another, grace after grace came through Christ. And do you need life to come alive? Jesus waits to be the life of your party and your work and your home and your church. Would you turn to Him knowing He's the gift of God? Life with Christ. Let's pray and surrender to Him. Lord, thank You for the preciousness of life. And here we're sitting next to each other. And we think of life forever with You and one another. And we, it's still quite an amazing thought. We pray that gratitude and and thankfulness, and just like maybe the dry bones in the book of Ezekiel, You'd just touch us and speak to us. Let us know that life with You is available as a gift to be received. Lord, it would bring eternal changes to any area that we would allow You to touch. And for some, it's the eternal change from hell to heaven. I pray that some would say, oh, Jesus, be my Savior, so that I don't just experience spiritual death forever, but life eternal. And then for all of us, Lord, a life rich and free with Christ. That gratitude would overflow us. Just give blessing to each one, especially as our four friends worship with us and eat with us. We've experienced life with them and also through them. We give You thanks for them. Bless our time. In Christ's name, amen.